Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Betzler, visiting with Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. All matters Russia. Russia is in the Middle East, has been for some time, augmenting the Assad regime, enforcing authority, especially on the jihadists who had been heretofore contained in Idlib province. However, the jihadists are now in Damascus. Assad has fled for refuge in Moscow. And there is a report from London that the Russians have evacuated pro-Iranian fighters and voices, diplomats, from Syria to Tehran. There is also a report as of yesterday, not repeated today, that Russia is in conversation with some aspect of the jihadists. There are so many, it's a witch's brew of acronyms. Some aspect of them in order to maintain or control or confirm their continued use of Tartus as a warm water port, which they built up with adequate defenses to hold against any jihadists. But in any event, it is in Syria. Anatole, the long important detail for me about Moscow and Syria is that in the first Cold War, especially from the 60s until the 80s, Russia had a very large presence in Syria itself, also in Lebanon, but in Syria. And there were a lot of marriages, a lot of families that are both Syrian and Russian. And this extended to the officer class, especially because the junior officers are now either retired or senior officers in the military, and state security, and business contacts. Is that determinative for how they will deal with Syria under the control of either the Turks, the Americans, the Israelis, or the jihadists? Does that make decisions for them in Moscow?
I don't think it may. I mean, it will influence those decisions, but I don't think it will make the decisions because, you know, pinned down as they are in Ukraine, Russia is simply not in a position to determine what happens in Syria now. The Russians are negotiating with the new regime in Damascus to try to keep their bases, but it also seems that they are withdrawing or preparing to withdraw a good many of their troops. And as you say, they've helped to pull the Iranians out of there. So we'll have to see. I mean, the regime in Damascus may want to keep the Russian bases by way of balancing against Turkey and America, who, of course, are, to put it mildly, unreliable partners for the Syrians. But, you know, on the other hand, emotions count. And after all, the Russians have been bombing the Syrian rebels for 8 years now. There can't be very warm feelings between them.
At the same time, Russia is matter-of-factly direct when dealing with jihadists. You put one of ours in the hospital, we put five of yours in the morgue, that sort of thing. So is this a straightforward negotiation for Russia? If it stays in Syria, they will not be worried about suicide attacks or jihadist tactics?
Well, it also depends, of course, on how far, you know, the new Syrian regime can control its own people. Because in Afghanistan, the Russians have established pretty good, reasonable relations with the Taliban regime there. And a key part of the reason for that is that the Taliban should prevent more radical forces from, you know, IS, from launching terrorist attacks against Russia. But the Taliban has not been able to control all of its territory or all of its people. And so some of the attacks have continued. So we'll have to see. I mean, at the moment, everything in Syria is so complicated. you know, with so many actors jockeying for position. But I think, you know, if the Syrian regime is worried about the Turks, as they should be, and, you know, worried about the American backing for the Kurds, who occupy, you know, almost a third of Syria by now, then it would make sense to try to maintain good relations with the Russians. But we'll have to see. I mean, there are a lot of Syrian dead on what is now the regime side, and their families who have, you know, good reason to hate Russia.
Final question about sentiment in Moscow. It's Christmas. New Year's comes first, and then Russian Christmas. Is this a time that would be just that Mr. Putin would be disposed to making peace? Would that benefit his presidency for the Russian people to make peace now?
Well, it's certainly to talk about making peace, to make nice noises, yes. And I think, you know, I think he probably does want peace. I mean, most Russians do. But of course, peace on Russia, compromise peace, but still on Russian terms, no surrender.
Right.
So I think that is the Russian position now. But, you know, there are real worries about the economy in the coming year. And of course, there are worries about the level of casualties. So by no means everything is going Russia's way.
Anatole Levin, the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.